1 Corinthians chapter number 9. I'm going to back up and begin reading in verse number 19, read down through the end of the chapter. The Apostle Paul said, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." I want us to come back to verses 22 and 23, and I want us to read these together out loud. You have your Bibles open, or have you scrolled to that point of Scripture yet? 1 Corinthians 9, let's read verses 22 and 23 together. You ready? "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." I circled a word down in verse number 25. I circled the word mastery. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to do something, it's worth it to be done right. And if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it to the absolute best of my ability and give 100%. If I can give 110, then I will. But I want to preach for a little while this morning, share a few thoughts out of this subject of passage of Scripture on the subject of mediocrity or mastery. Do you want to be a mediocre Christian or a master Christian? Striving for the mastery. I don't want it to be said about my life that I'm mediocre. I'd like to say I put all of it into it. I'm asking the Lord to help us with this. Mediocrity or mastery. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. You are worth our all. Because we were worth your all. And you gave it all on Calvary. And I'm thankful for that. Lord, help us as individuals or us as a church not to be satisfied with mediocre Christianity. But may we strive for the mastery. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us throughout this day. You'd encourage us. May we want more about Jesus. We sure do love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul also said over in Philippians chapter number 3, he said in verse number 9, he said, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already a perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." He went on to say in verse 14 that he presses towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want us to take a personal inventory this morning as we look into the scriptures. And I want us to ask ourselves and ask God to be able to convict our hearts and lives if we as individuals, we as a Christian family, have just come to a point of coasting, if we are satisfied with mediocrity, if we're satisfied with just the status quo. And as I look throughout the scripture and we see this phrase here, that every man striveth for the mastery. My dad always told me, and just like you have sayings that you can pass down to your generation from the previous generation, if something's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And if I'm going to do something, there's places that I've been, and there's things that I've walked away from, and in several places it's been this: whatever they do it first class. And I don't want to be one that's half-hearted. I don't want to be one that walks into something and says, boy, I wish I had given more to it. As what a coach would say is, make sure that you leave it all on the field. Don't bring any back on the bus with you. Don't bring it into the locker room. Leave it on the field. And the Apostle Paul is encouraging us here in our Christian life here that we are striving for the mastery. And I thought in our Christian lives, and I thought, you know, the mastery may seem like it's such a far-reaching goal to be able to get to. But then I was reminded earlier this morning, when we go back into Romans chapter 12, that presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, that's just our reasonable service to the Lord. And I thought, striving for the mastery in the Christian life is nothing more than reasonable to us. But sometimes we get to the point, and I know that I've been there previously, and maybe you find yourself in that position, that you may just be satisfied with one service a week. You may be satisfied with whatever you get from this pulpit is enough Bible to be able to carry you through for the next 6 days till you hear it again. You may be satisfied with just enough that, well, there's been enough people that have prayed this morning that I don't have to spend time praying throughout the week. May I say this? That's not striving for the mastery. In fact, that's even less than average when you start thinking about Christianity around our world today. You know, the last Pew Research, and I think it came out through Barna Research, that they said, and it was back right after we were starting the church, that New Hampshire and Vermont being some of the least Bible-minded states in our nation. In fact, this region from Boston up to Manchester, the Boston-Manchester region that comes up through there, is the least spiritual, the least church-going. They said for the state of New Hampshire, it was about 22 to 24%, somewhere in there, that said that they attended and went once a month to any type of church whatsoever. And we say, boy, that's sad. Well, it's still way better, and we're not comparing and saying, because that's not a high banner of Christianity. But you get over into places like England, when they say 2 to 3% even go to church whatsoever in any type of church over there. Well, what that has caused, because the influence of the church and of the Bible and of Christianity is so low, that we've gotten to the point that we think being a nominal Christian is actually doing something great for the cause of Christ. When Paul is saying, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. And I want to share a few things as we come down through this passage of scripture, because I don't want myself, and God has put upon my heart as a pastor for Granite State Baptist Church. Can I say this? I don't want us to be the average church. I don't. The average church of walking in Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, and then whoever can make it back for Thursday. I don't want us to be the average run-of-the-mill church and say, well, that's just the way things are going today. I don't want that to be us. I don't want us to be mediocre. I don't want it to be, well, there's no one ever around that church. Man, I'm okay with people driving up and down this road and saying, you know, every time I drive by there, someone's pulling in, pulling out. There's something going on at the church. You know how many people stop and slow down and start rubbernecking a little bit more when I'm sitting there waiting to pull out onto Sheep Davis Road? They're like, hey, what's that place over there? Because people drive by it all the time and never even know it's here. I don't want us to be just mediocre. I want us striving for the mastery. And I thought as we look down through this passage of Scripture, I want you to see just four things that God spoke to my heart about. As I read down through here and so much from the Apostle Paul's life, do you think the Apostle Paul was just an average Christian, or do you think he was striving for the mastery? Do you think the Apostle Paul got bogged down with everything that's here in this world? We read about it over in Philippians chapter number 3, the verses before what I just read, how he says, listen, none of these things move me. Listen, I don't count them dear to myself. He said that in the book of Acts. He said in Philippians 3 that he said, I count all of that but dung. You know why? For the excellency of the gospel, that I may know him. It's not a mistake that the last song we just sang as a congregation was more about Jesus. When sometimes we sit in church week after week after week and we're saying, I think I know everything I need to know about Jesus. See, that's the problem. We know all we need to be able to get to heaven, but there ought to be a want to know more. More about Jesus. First of all, I want you to come back and see with me that the difference between mediocrity and mastery is what we're willing to do for the gospel's sake. What we're willing to do for the gospel. He read down through here, and there's a reason I didn't ask you to read these verses, but to the Jew became I a Jew that I might save some Jews. To those that are without the law, as those that are under the law, that I became that I might save them. To those that are weak, became I as weak. To those that are strong, became I as strong. Listen, whatever the Apostle Paul needed to do for the gospel's sake, to be able to see people saved without compromising the Word of God now. Without compromising. But I believe something was inside the Apostle Paul that he said, listen, God has changed my life. God has saved my soul for all of eternity. And he said, I realize that. And whatever I can do for the gospel's sake, that's what I'm willing to do. Remember a time maybe when you first got saved? Boy, you sure appreciated what Jesus did for you. Now we've gotten to the point we almost think we deserve it. We almost start thinking, we quit singing, people driving up and down the road, people walking on the street corners and up and down the sidewalks. Listen, before I was saved, if I would have drawn my last breath, I would have spent the next eternity separated from God in hell and the lake of fire. God has saved my soul. And you say, well, we're striving for the mastery. What are we willing to do for the gospel's sake? What are we willing to do for others to be able to hear the precious news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? I'm not saying I want to burn out for Jesus, because I don't think there is a burning out. I say if we're walking in the Spirit, I say if we're keeping Jesus first and we're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, listen, I am as excited right now about what we have the next 3 months of serving God as I was when I showed up in Concord and walked up and put my first door hanger on someone's door to invite them to Granite State Baptist Church. I'm thankful for it. You know why? God burdened my heart. Listen, I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to be average. I want to strive for the mastery. And what it takes is what we're willing to do for the gospel. That's why we just purchased 10 acres next door to us. That's why we put a tent up there. Hey, it's not just for grilling hamburgers and hot dogs, even though that was fun, wasn't it? It wasn't just for putting an inflatable obstacle course over there for the kids, but that was fun, wasn't it? You know how many visitors walked on that property? You know how many people have already been on that property we've been able to share the gospel with? Well, I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for what the Lord's going to do. And I want our church to be constantly moving forward on what can we do for the gospel. And it's not just Concord. I'm thankful to have the Canavan family here with us today. Hey, you say, man, I'd like to go on vacation and just live in Ireland all the time. Not all vacation. The Worrells, we joked about that. They're finding out living in a truck and a trailer, it's not all vacation. They're waiting on a part down in Cleveland, Tennessee, to be able to get their vehicle fixed so that they can try to get back on the road tomorrow. You say it's not all fun and games. Hey, I'm thankful for what some is willing to do for the gospel's sake, and I'm praying that God would continue to burden our hearts. Listen, it's not about just a kingdom. It's not about just a great big building. It's not about just a basketball court. It's not about giving a loaf of bread out. It's about what we can do for the gospel. And that's what the Apostle Paul had preeminent on the front of his heart and his mind. Every day he woke up, he said, listen, why do you do that, Paul? This I do for the gospel's sake. Why are you doing that, Paul? Hey, they just whipped you. They just beat you. They just left you for dead. They just stoned you. Why do you get back up, walk back in there and preach the gospel? This I do for the gospel's sake. I'm talking about asking God to put a burden in our hearts, in our lives. We believe the Lord's coming back soon. Listen, we've got limited time to do something for the gospel. Limited time. I want to make sure I'm faithful up to the end of it. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, well, you are an average Christian. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The only thing medium is my steak. Not well done there. But I'm talking about well done. Hey, I'm talking as the preacher told me, and I've never forgotten it, heaven bound with the pedal down. Being careful, listen, I understand there's some here with health and age. You can't go like you used to go. I get that. God gets that. But listen, that's not going to hinder me from going. Because guess what? By God's grace, he's still allowing me to. I can still keep going. I can still move forward, laboring for the gospel. But I want you to see this. We read these verses together, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Hey, it's even biblical to come in first place. You say, well, how many are they running against? It was just one. You have an individual race. But he said, only one receiveth the prize, but run that ye may obtain. Hey, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go. I want to be all in for Jesus. I want to know more about him. I want to give my life to him. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it, look at this, to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You understand, as we look at this passage of Scripture, it's not just about laboring for the gospel, but it's keeping our focus on that which is eternal. Keeping our focus. Do you understand the training that goes into, and just 2 months from now, we're going to be starting the Olympics. Not we. They will be starting the Olympics. I might see some of that, but do you know how much training and time and effort goes into? And listen, I commend them for the discipline that is in their life to be able to structure that and to be able to go forward. For there, it could be, listen, for a 100-yard dash, they're looking for their 10 seconds of glory. That's it. All that training, all that effort, all that time and expense. And now it's getting to the point, if it's 10 seconds, you've lost. I'm saying all that go into it. And they do all of that to be able to stand on a podium, be able to have a medal put around their neck, some flowers put in their arm, and maybe come home and get on a Wheaties box. But you know what I've found out? That gold's going to tarnish. It's amazing how many I've heard of those gold medals. They come back and they take that gold in. Honestly, they start getting some hard times. They'll go in and pawn that thing off. Be able to get what money they can out of it. And I thought, all that time and effort and money, listen, if they'll do all of that to be able to receive a medallion around their neck, they do it for corruptible. We do it for incorruptible. Do you know why? Hey, let's go over some things. We're fixing to be able to do some teaching, do some preaching, invest in some lives over at the Rock of Ages National Conference. Hey, you never know what God's going to do there. Next month, we're going to have VBS over here on the property. You may be sitting down with a Bible and being able to listen to a scripture verse from one of the kids. You may be able to be a witness and a testimony and be able to see one of them saved. Can I tell you, that's worth a whole lot more and some gold medal. I remember one of the first years we were having VBS after we had a place to be able to do it. Brother and Sister Shepherd were here. Boy, they hadn't taught VBS and been teaching for a while. And boy, Miss June, you were the one teaching, weren't you? And she come to the end. She gave an invitation for the kids to be able to get saved and sent about 8 of them over to Brother Shepherd. And boy, he come to me afterwards. He said, boy, it's been a while since I've sat down with 8 kids and be able to share the gospel with them. Hey, listen, you know what we need to do every day of our lives? We need to remember that we're not in it for this life. We're in it for eternity. We're in it for the incorruptible. I'm thankful. Listen, I am born again. I am a child of God. I'm on my way to heaven. If you can't say that with assurance, you're only living for this life right now. Boy, I'm so thankful. Listen, I can get up each and every day, and what I do throughout my day, only what's done for Christ will last. And I can, listen, I can go 100 miles an hour. I can go full throttle for the cause of Christ, because I know it's not just going to perish and fade away here. Aren't you glad we get to invest in something bigger than ourselves? I'm so thankful we get to be part of something. We're going to get out in the community. We're going to be inviting kids to be able to come in from 6 to 8 o'clock on Monday through Friday. And we're going to have games. We're going to have crafts. We're going to have Bible teaching. We're going to have singing. We're going to have the Word of God and be able to pour that scripture right into them young people. Boy, what a blessing. Hey, listen, keep focused on the eternal. You know, there's times, I'm just being honest with you, I'm human just like you are. There's times I don't want to get up on a Sunday morning. There's times I'm saying, hey, I don't want to go out, I don't want to be a witness, I don't want to do that. The flesh is battling that. But then, boy, God can speak to my heart and say, hey, you're invested in something a whole lot more. I guarantee you, Brother Andrew, Miss Sean over here, the days, boy, it gets weary on the road. Hey, she's expecting, coming in July. How many of y'all want to travel thousands of miles a month, pregnant, sitting in the car? Now think about that. And he'll probably get you down south where it's 100 degrees for the month of July, probably. But listen, you know what keeps him going? Same thing he just said when he was standing up here 15 minutes ago or so. He said, the people of Ireland. The people. There's someone over there that if he doesn't give a gospel tract, it's very possible that no one else is going to walk by their way and be able to give him a gospel tract. And I thought, let's keep focused. Let's keep focused. Keep focused on the things of eternity. But then I saw this. He said in verse number 26, he said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, look at this phrase, not as one that beateth the air. He uses a lot of sports terminology, the Apostle Paul does. And this would be the equivalent of our shadow boxing. Anybody here ever shadow boxed? Did you win? Shadow box, not just one that beats the air. Not just one that stands there. Hey, it's easy to win a fight when someone's not fighting back. But he said, if I'm getting into it, he said, I'm running, I'm fighting. Not as one that beateth the air. And I wrote down here, and this is the Lord helping me on things, that he's willing to set aside useless things. And he doesn't waste time. I wonder if we'd take inventory of our lives. Now listen, I'm talking about striving for the mastery in our Christian lives. I'm not talking about being a mediocre Christian. I'm not talking about, hey, that I can take it or leave it. I'm not talking about, listen, this is more important than spending time with God or getting together with my church family. I'm talking about I'm setting aside useless things. I read the statement, it was less than 2%. It might have been less than a 1% average of those that ever play any youth sports have any chance whatsoever of going professional. The percentage is minimal. But they said there's a 100% chance that every one of us are going to stand before God. Hey, I appreciate parents that'll take a stand. And they say, listen, it's not like my kid's going to play on the NBA. It's not like my kid's going to be a shortstop for the Red Sox. It's not like they have a professional soccer career. You say, Pastor, are you against sports? I'm against them taking the place of God. I am. I'm against when it starts taking it out of church. I'm against when that's the priority over the Word of God. They can get up and travel all over the place. What Paul's saying, hey, this is a sports metaphor here. He said, not as one that beateth the air. That's useless. You say, oh, that I'm not talking about part of training. But even for me in training, if I'm going to train to be a boxer, give me a bag or something to be able to hit. If I'm going to throw a punch that many times, someone's getting in a ring with me. Not useless time. Hey, we went on a hike on Wednesday, and I thank the Lord for a couple men in our church that helped me out and sometimes had to push me. No, they didn't have to push me. I'll say that. But we got up there, and hey, you may be plodding through, and we get up there, and every person I heard walk out of those trees up there to the pinnacle, every one of them said, wow. Hey, I want the view at the end. That was talked about on Wednesday. It's worth the journey. It's worth the traveling. It's worth the going forward, not just wasting time. And I thought, Lord, if you'd help us to set aside useless things, not as one that beateth the air. But then look at this finally, as we get down to verse number 27. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He's talking about his flesh here and keeping his body into subjection. How many found out that your biggest enemy is the person you look at in the mirror every morning? You walk by, hey, we walked by, we were down at a graduation on Friday night for another pastor's daughter, and boy, we were walking out of there, and I told my wife, I'll take her and get her something to eat afterwards, and we already had picked out what we wanted to be able to go and eat. And boy, we're walking out of there, and Crystal can attest to this. I'm walking out that door, and I look out, and there's a sheet cake that's sitting on the table about that big. And it was already cut. It was already cut. So it's like it was just there. There was a piece sitting on the corner with all the frosting and everything just sitting there. I said, man, I could knock out a piece of that cake right now. You can ask my wife. I kept on walking. I kept on walking. I didn't grab it and eat it going to the car before I got in there. I left it sit there. Then we talked about the frosting all the way to the car. We talked about the frosting, how it looks so good. I mean, just all puffed up and everything there. And I said, oh, left it sitting. You know why? Hey, you know what God was speaking to my heart about? Hey, bring the body under subjection. But I thought, listen, there's got to be a controlling of the flesh. And I'm not just talking about eating cake this morning. I'm talking about there's times that we yield to the flesh that we ought to be yielding to the Spirit. There's times we get to the point in our lives that we're saying, I'm doing what I want to do. It's not about what God wants me to do. What Paul, I believe, is trying to tell us here is, listen, even our flesh can get in the way of striving for the mastery. Do you know why I'm not a world-class weightlifter? I don't want to be. That's really what it boils down to. Do you know why I don't run marathons? I don't have the discipline right now to do that. That's honestly what it boils down to. Do you know why? Listen, can I just start stepping on some toes? Do you know why every one of us would be saying, yeah, I know I need to go on a diet? Because we don't have the discipline otherwise. But what Paul's saying, listen, it's not just that physical side of things, but do you know why we don't read our Bibles more? We don't want to. Do you know why there's sin that is prevalent in our lives? Why some sin is controlling people on a regular basis? Because you want it to. And you yield to it. And I yield to it. God gives us the power. You don't believe me? Go back and read Romans chapter 6. It's the person that is yielding that is given permission. And we're either yielding our bodies and our members as instruments of unrighteousness, or we're yielding them as instruments of righteousness. It's either or. And I'm saying, listen, if we'd get to the point of controlling our flesh and walk in the Spirit, the Bible says we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We say, but Pastor, I just can't get over that. Well, that's being a mediocre Christian. That's saying, well, sin's just going to be a part of my life till I see Jesus. That's mediocrity. That's not mastery. Well, you know, churches are just dying today. Then do we forsake the entire principle and promise that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us, that he said he would build his church? Now listen, I'm not just talking about bigger numbers. I'm talking about building lives. I don't want to get so busy building an organization that we forget about the people that make up the organization. And I'm saying, God, would you help us, listen, in our personal lives, not just to be, and here was the phrase I always heard for years, I don't want to be just a Sunday morning Christian. I don't want to be that, listen, I've just got one toe in Christianity and the other foot is in the world. I don't want that to describe my life, and I don't believe Paul did either. Now, I believe Paul was one of the greatest Christians, and he'd never admit it. Other than the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the greatest example in the Bible. And Paul struggled. Paul worked on things. Paul was pulled different directions when it came to sin. But he said, listen, I do know this. I want to know him more. And I want to get closer to Jesus. And I'm willing, whatever it takes, I'm going to get the gospel out there. Not just whatever it takes physically, whatever it takes financially, whatever it takes, he said, we're getting the gospel out. And I'm saying, God, would you help our church not to be mediocre? Would you help me not to be mediocre? I don't want to be the lukewarm of Revelation chapter 3. And I don't want to be the cold either. I want to be on fire for God. I want God to use us to do something. I want God to entrust Granite State Baptist Church that if there's something that's got to be done for Concord, they say there's a group of people I know will do it. Because they're on fire for the Lord. And I'm not talking, here's what I appreciate. I'm not talking about the 8 or 10% to do all the work. Well, I'm so thankful for people that jump in. So thankful. Well, I'm telling you, God's so faithful. He has given us something to be able to strive for. Striving for the mastery. Let me ask you something. Was it the burden on your heart when you woke up this morning to be the best Christian that you could possibly be today? Or was it, I'm waking up and going to church so that, number one, my girlfriend won't bug me. Number two, my boyfriend won't bug me, and at least I can still see him. Or my parents aren't going to get on me. Because at least I was there. Well, my kids are wanting to go to church, so I'll bring them to church. Did we wake up this morning as a child of God saying, I want to be the best Christian that I can be because of what Jesus has done for me? Or is it, well, if I can just do enough to get by? How many ever had that attitude in school? Oh, C's are okay. D's are okay. Hey, at least I didn't fail. You know something, there's things I may not know all of it of, but I'm going to do my best. There's some that are sitting here. We got some of the nerds and the geeks. They're in two different categories. I'm learning all of that stuff, okay? They could honestly sit down and talk circles around me. But you know what I try to do? Try to sit there and listen and learn something. Be able to try to understand something, try to learn something. You know why? Because even on the physical side of things, I'm always trying to improve. And I'm saying on the spiritual things, would you have to classify your life for Christ today as mediocre or striving for the mastery. Which one would you have to classify? Now, be honest now. Now, see, our pride automatically enters in. Well, and here's what we say. We don't say, well, I'm striving for the mastery. We say, well, I'm not so bad. Okay, well, I didn't read my Bible that much this week, but I brought it with me today. I thought, Lord, I wonder if you'd help us to strive for the mastery. Striving for the mastery. Wake up tomorrow morning saying, God, I'm going to be the best Christian that I can possibly be. I'm going to live for you. I'm not just going to be average. I'm not just going to blend in. But I'm going to be different. Striving for the mastery.